The invisible roles women played in science throughout history have been revealed in recent years thanks to books and films, including the book and the popular film Hidden Figures. Now an online exhibition is pulling back the curtain on forgotten females at the Harvard Museum of Comparative Zoology, including an unappreciated arachnophile. WBUR's Andrea Shea got the story from the show's curator.
Reed Gotchberg was digging through the archives at Harvard Zoology Museum when she stumbled on some striking information buried in some old annual reports.
What I noticed is that starting in 1869, there's this note that talks about how they've started hiring women as assistants and how they've found them to be very good workers.
One of them was Elizabeth Bangs Bryant.
So when Bryant first started working at the museum, she actually worked as a volunteer on a part-time basis.
That was in 1898.
And she only began to receive a salary for her work in the 1930s.
You might get creeped out by the critters Bryant worked with every day.
She focused on spiders.
Gotchberg acknowledges the eek factor that comes with the job title spider curator. She studies 19th century American culture along with the history of museums and says Harvard had a ton of specimens, fossils, birds, shells, and spiders that needed to be cataloged and preserved. Now Gotchberg is highlighting that hidden labor in the online exhibition Women of the Museum, Behind the Scenes at the Museum of Comparative Zoology.
They were first hired as assistants and secretaries and sometimes as librarians, but you know, it took a few decades before women started to be appointed at the level of assistant curator.
Before being hired as assistant spider curator, Elizabeth Bangs Bryant had been fearlessly building her own collection of eight-legged specimens. She found them on excursions in New England and the Caribbean. Two spiders are even named after her, the Bryantella and the Bryantina. While she didn't complete her degree at Radcliffe, Gotchberg says Bryant pursued her passion with mentors, including the head spider curator at the Zoology Museum.
One of the challenges with Bryant in terms of just the available source material that I've had so far is that mostly I've been working with her professional correspondents. Although I should say the fact that so many of her letters are in the archives is actually quite notable.
Bryant was one of a few women at the museum whose name appears alongside her work. Jars she labeled by hand are still in the collection, and Bryant was able to publish her research. Gotchberg says aspiring arachnologists wrote to her for advice.
They would ask for her help in identifying spiders that they had collected, and so they often would be sending these specimens to the museum.
Bryant added any duplicates to Harvard's collection. In her time, women were usually excluded from scientific careers, which wasn't lost on Bryant's female correspondents.
They sometimes will joke with her talking about men in the field and their dismissal of women who are working on spiders.
Gotchberg says Bryant's letters offer glimpses of her as a mentor to younger women, but sometimes she admitted to them that refilling vials to preserve the tiny hairy creatures was mundane.
She found it often to be very tedious, but she also recognized how important that was in terms of maintaining these collections and making them available to people in the future.
When Bryant died in 1953, she left her personal spider collection to the museum. Now Gotchberg hopes the underappreciated arachnologist story, along with those of the other pioneering women in the exhibition, will help people think differently about their legacy, caring for Harvard's trove of shells, fossils, birds, dinosaur bones, and spiders. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.